My name is Marika, and I'm an alcoholic. I thought all those birthdays would buy me some more time. I'm very nervous, so bear with me. This is a very packed room tonight. Three things that have been very important in my sobriety. I have a sobriety date. It's July 6th, 2008. I have a sponsor who was a sponsor, and I have a home group, which is the Montezuma Monday Night Young People Step Study. It's in the college area at 8 p.m. If you're ever around on a Monday night, we'd love to have you. It's a great meeting. I've been going there for most of my sobriety. I have to remind myself that if you guys are anything like me, you're probably not thinking about me. You're probably thinking about yourselves. So, because I know I think a whole lot about myself. My problem is that I'm selfish and self-centered, and it's all about me. So I guess I'll just start from the beginning. I grew up in Los Angeles, in suburban Los Angeles. I come from, I guess, what you could call a normal family. I have a mom and a dad and a younger sister, and I have never fit in and never been able to, like, navigate social situations with any sort of grace. I'm super awkward. And I always felt like everybody else kind of knew what was going on, and I had no idea. Like, everybody got this instruction manual that I never got. So I moved down here to San Diego when I was about 10 years old. You know, alcohol has always been around in my family. I come from a European family. My mama is Dutch. And so we always had wine with dinner, and, like, it was always around. It was never this thing that was, like, taboo. It was just kind of always there, and it was like, oh, yeah, everybody drinks wine. I was told later that by my parents, I don't remember this, but I would always sneak back to the kitchen and take pugs off the bottle. And everybody thought that was super cute. And it got less cute as I got older. Because it's a habit that continued through my drinking. You know, my parents taught me very early on that, you know, better living through chemistry. And so I learned, you know, you take a pill, it fixes things. My parents are not the reason I'm an alcoholic. My upbringing is not the reason I'm an alcoholic. The reason I'm an alcoholic is because I react to alcohol differently than my fellows. I experience that phenomenon of craving that it talks about in the doctor's opinion. And, you know, it talks about how the phenomenon of craving is limited to this class and never occurs in the average temperate drinker. So if it never happens to the average temperate drinker, and it happens to me, that makes me an alcoholic. So, you know, I started drinking when I was in my teens, and, I don't remember my first drink, but I do remember my first drunk. And, I will share it with you. So my dad used to, have these sailing buddies, and they had a party at our house, and his friends thought it would be really funny to get my 11-year-old sister and 13-year-old me drunk off of margaritas. Yeah. They thought it was hilarious. And, so I remember sitting in my room talking with my dad's friend's mom, or my dad's friend's wife, and, we were talking about how awesome and intelligent cats were, and then I got really sick. Yeah. Then I got really sick, and I threw up, and I couldn't wait to do it again. Because it was awesome. I remembered that I could breathe. I could breathe, and the world was okay, and I wasn't, my head wasn't spinning anymore, and I could just be, and, like, that was okay, and I never felt that before. Like, I never felt like I could just be, and, because I, sober, I am jumping out of my skin without a solution, and, so, you know, fast forward a few years, like, I drank whenever I could. You know, later into my teenage years, my dad got a DUI, and he got sent here to you guys. And I learned that my first experience with AA was that it was somewhere you got sent when you got in trouble. And he was not a fan of you guys. He didn't like that you talked about God, and he thought, you know, people were drinking Kool-Aid, and he was not a fan. And but you know, I didn't know what an alcoholic was until I got here. I had a notion that maybe it was the guy on the street with the paper bag, but I didn't really give it too much thought. I knew that alcohol was fun and that it worked. Alcohol was a solution for me. It was it didn't start to become a problem until later, and I knew that it fixed the way I felt. Oh, it's so ridiculous. you know, I found other substances, but this is a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I can tell you that I am an alcoholic, and alcohol was always present. There were other things, but you know, that it was easier to leave that alone. Alcohol, I couldn't leave it. And so I lost my train of thought. I got a DUI. We'll jump ahead to there. I got a DUI, and I decided it was a really good idea to fight the cops while handcuffed to a gurney. And I tried to leave the hospital, and they really don't like it when you try and do that. And so I don't know how. I was 21 years old, and I pitched such a fit that they released me to my parents. And I don't know how that happened. I was super grateful for that. I've never actually spent any long stretch of time in jail. I booked and released, and they let me go. And, you know, that wasn't enough to stop me. I ended up, what brought me to the end was I ended up losing my will to live. I tried to kill myself, and I miscalculated because I like to think that I'm this chemist and I'm super smart. And I've got this huge idea of myself in my head, and I miscalculated. And, you know, it brought me to the point where I was able to ask for help. And that help brought me to you guys. I went through a treatment center, and I didn't stay. My original sobriety date was the 30th of January. I would have been coming up on 5 years. But I decided, I used to be a raver, and I decided that I could totally live that old lifestyle sober, and I justified, yeah, it's not fun sober. It's not a good time. Yeah, I had a lot of old ideas that I wasn't ready to let go of, and that experience, I thank God for that, you know, that experience kind of knocked that out of me. Like, I had to change everything, and I had to let go of that old way of life, and I had to commit to, you know, this program and what we practice here. And I love this program so much. I'm one of those cheesy people who's like, yes, Alcoholics Anonymous, I love it. And I hated those people when I got here. I didn't believe that anyone could be sober for any extended amount of time, and I thought everyone was lying. And you know, I got to realize that no, like, we get to experience this change inside of ourselves, and it saves us. Like, I know that, you know, I shouldn't be standing here tonight. Like, I'm a drunk. Like, I should, like, be wrecking cars and fighting cops and, you know? But, you know, I got a sponsor, and I got a home group, and I started working the steps. And things started to change really slowly. Thank you. And, you know, I got through the steps, and I started sponsoring other women. And that is the greatest joy I have in Alcoholics Anonymous. I love taking other women through the steps. You get to see this change start to happen, and, like, the light comes on, and the eyes change, and that sparkle comes back. And, you know, like, I know when I got here, I was dead inside. Like, my eyes were dead. I was just this shell of a human being. And this program has brought that back. Larry has asked me to tell a story about the sixth and seventh step. And it's a really cool story. And it's, so, and then I'll end with that, and I'll sit down, and we'll have coffee. I had gotten this unlocked iPhone from my dad, and I was going to sell it because it was worth some money, and I got caught up in this very elaborate scam on Craigslist. And they made a fake PayPal, and they scammed me out of my iPhone. And I was so mad. I was livid, and I'm on the phone with PayPal, and I'm yelling at these people, and how dare you, and don't you know who I am? And, because I'm very important. And I'm sitting there, and like one of my big character defects is rage. And, I was really mad when I got here. And, you know, I go to move to that place, and my vision's starting to go red, and I move to go there, and poof, it's gone. God has yanked it from me. And I'm just like, what do I do now? Like, this, it's gone. And, you know, and then I apologized to the lady I was yelling at on the phone, and I hung up the phone. I was in the back room at work, and then I cried because I'm a little girl sometimes. And, you know, that's it was one of those experiences where that was not useful to myself, to God, or to my fellows, and so God yanked it. Like, it was gone, and it's not been back. And that was one of the coolest experiences I've ever had. I was not grateful for it at the time. I was pretty upset. But I'm super grateful for it now, and it makes a cool story, and it makes people laugh. And, you know, I heard in a meeting recently, like, once you're laughing, we've got you. You know, and because I brought my sister to a meeting, and she's not an alcoholic, and we were laughing at, you know, the stuff that we laugh at, and, you know, all the terrible, awful things we do, and it's funny. It's funny. It was not funny when I got here, but it's funny now. And she's looking at me like I'm a crazy person, and she's like, why is that funny? And I'm like, I guess you wouldn't get it. So I'm so grateful to be here, and thank you guys for letting me be of service.